Good morning and Happy New Year. Welcome as we gather together to worship on this first Sunday in 2022. I can hardly believe it, but here we are. Still very much in the season of Christmas, despite, I presume, decorations going away and gears being switched. The season of Epiphany will begin in the midst of our week, this upcoming week, so we still are in the spirit of Christmas. So it is in that spirit that I welcome you to worship this morning and remind you, no matter how many times you've been here, that no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are and to share God's love with you. So welcome. I do have a few announcements to make as we power ahead into the new year. First of all, a thank you to Ina Cho, a familiar face, but our guest organist this week as Andrew claims some time with family for the holidays. Even though we are in the midst of the season of Christmas still, we are having our unhanging or de-decorating of the sanctuary and the building immediately following worship today around 9 o'clock. So if you are able and willing to stay around and volunteer even just for a bit, Bill Leslie will lead the troops. He's in the back, and we appreciate all volunteers. You may see our beautiful poinsettias are still going strong, some of them are kind of on their last leg. If you would like to claim one for yourself, the white ones still look pretty great. The red ones are struggling a bit, but there are also plenty in the library to claim, so if you'd like to grab them, this is kind of your last chance, so please feel free to do that. And a reminder, next week we will be back to our regular times, 8 o'clock and 10:15, and we will also share in communion at both services. So please join us for that back at your usual times. And I believe those are all of the announcements for today. And I just realized that I said the unhanging of the greens was at 9 o'clock, but it is 9 o'clock. And I saw Bill Leslie in the back going like this, and I didn't know why, but now I do. It's at 10 o'clock. So anyway, just stay after worship. You'll be fine. That being said, putting those reminders in the back of our brains somewhere so that we can be in a spirit of worship together, I invite you to join me in taking a deep and slow breath that we might be fully present in this time and place, in this beautiful space of worship. Amen. Our theme this morning is Another Road, and it has me thinking about our walks of faith. One of the gifts of our faith, and one of the reasons why I have devoted my life to this work, is because our faith offers us perspective in a world where we are desperately in need of a perspective greater than our own. In fact, my favorite passage of scripture comes from Psalm 61. From the ends of the earth I call to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Perspective. As humans, we can so often get stuck in the valleys, especially when our world is as it currently stands. We can get stuck believing that things will always be as they are, or they have to be as they are. Stuck in our one way of thinking, of doing, of being. Stuck in this story loop that there is one right way that things ought to be done, a right way that people ought to do things, a right way that our lives should go, and that we ought to be in the world. But what a life of faith offers us, what God offers us, what the birth of Christ offers us, is another way. Another road, another perspective, a view much further and wider than we can see on our own. In a world where we are so often quick to make a plan or a list, where we are so often looking for the fastest, most efficient, most direct way to get everywhere and anywhere and do everything and anything, our faith does offer us another way of being, another road. Christ offers us a different perspective, not promising that the journey will be faster or easier, but promising to be with us on the journey, no matter how it unfolds, promising to be the rock that is higher than you or I. As we enter into a brand new year and as we approach the season of Epiphany, we come to find another road that Christ is calling us toward. We come to journey together. We come to call out to God with overwhelmed and hopeful hearts, to worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join me as we confess our sins together by praying our prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Loving God, there is something hopeful about entering into a new year, but there is also something challenging and a bit scary. Just because we flip a page on the calendar or change one little number when writing the date doesn't mean that everything is restored or resolved or suddenly made right in the world. And yet, your birth reminds us that there is a way forward, another road to blaze, explore, and travel. Forgive us when we only look back, when we only see one road and one way of being and moving, and when we fail to follow where your light leads because we don't know where we'll end up. As we journey onward, as we follow, as we seek, may we trust that you go with us every step of the way. Amen. My friends, the light of Christ always leads us back to a place of grace, forgiveness, and love. These are the precious gifts of Christmas, of Advent, of Epiphany, of a life of faith together. And as we journey with Christ into what lies ahead, may we claim those gifts for ourselves, may we share them freely with those we encounter on the journey, and may we live differently in this world because of them. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. We are going to do something a bit different today, and we're going to incorporate our sermon hymn, our next hymn, into our message this morning as we continue to tell the story of Christ's birth and as we meet and reflect on the Magi, and most importantly, as we discern together what it all means for our lives here and now at the threshold of this new year. I'm going to start us off in just a moment with a word of prayer, and then I invite you to follow along in your bulletins as we sing and listen for God's word in the midst of mine. Just a note, there was a little bit of a misprint on my part. The second part time that we're singing, it says sing verse 2 and 3, and then the next time it says sing verse 3 and 4, which would mean that we would sing verse 3 twice. So that second time, we're just going to sing verse 2. Then the third time we'll sing 3 and 4. But I'll remind you each way so you don't have to be remembering this. Just sit back and enjoy and be engaged in our message together. So I do invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, you have gifts to offer us this day, and we pray that we might have hearts and minds and spirits open to receiving those gifts. As we look back on where we have been and as we journey forward with great hope, help us to be mindful of your presence that has been with us and will continue to be with us each step of the way. Amen. I do invite you to remain seated as we sing verse 1 of the first Noel together, which can be found on page 139 in your hymnals. Perhaps it was the line, "On a cold winter's night, which we haven't had a lot of recently, from that last verse we just sang that made me think about things not being as expected. But really, the whole verse about the shepherds encountering an angel who told them of the miraculous things really wasn't what they had planned. I'm sure that the shepherds didn't set out that night expecting it to unfold as it did. Come to think of it, the entire story of Christ's birth, from Mary's pregnancy to a manger birth, from shepherds to wise ones, is unexpected. It's a story of things not going as they should have, of the best laid plans being outshined by the light of God's plan. Now, I'm not one to often speak about God's plan because it can so easily creep into that dangerous, everything happens for a reason territory. As humans, we endure unthinkable tragedy. We are witness to great suffering, heartache that knocks the wind out of us, tragedy that makes no sense, plans going awry, things that stop us in our tracks and disarm us and make us question everything. But I do think that there is this push and pull that we engage in with God between our control and our surrender. What expectations do you have for this coming year? How is God challenging you to let go of those expectations? I don't think of God as a puppet master holding the strings and making plans to test us or punish us for poor choices. But what I do believe with all of my heart is that God holds us with compassion, with the care of one who created and loves us, and with a purpose to take what life throws at us and to use it to draw us closer. I take great comfort and peace knowing and envisioning a God who from the very beginning asks everyone involved in the story to set expectations aside. A God who showed up in unexpected ways, at unexpected times when things were not going as expected. A God who meets us in fields and stables, in crowded places and empty spaces. A God who meets an unwed peasant girl in the shock and joy of pregnancy, who meets terrified shepherds keeping watch over their fields by night, who guides wise ones to the king laying in a feeding trough, who shows up in places of darkness and unknown, and fear and ruin and crossroads and pain and the absolute limit of what we can endure, and shines a light so bright that drawing nearer to it is all that matters. Bearing all of these things in mind, let's join in singing verse 2 of the first Noel. As you heard just a bit ago in our scripture reading, today we meet the wise men, who, after traveling to meet baby Jesus and offering him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, gifts fit for a king, they departed the Holy Family. Scripture tells us that having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, the three wise ones left for their own country by another road. You see, they had been sent by Herod to go and search diligently for the child so that he could pay him homage, which we all know from our story last week that that was not at all what Herod had planned to do. I'm reminded of these words: two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Familiar words from poet Robert Frost, and words that came to mind as I reflected on the Magi's journey. You see, the wise ones took their own kind of road less traveled. I have no idea if the other road that they took to get home got them lost, or took twice as long, or took them over the river and through the woods, but I do know that it did indeed make all the difference. It saved Christ, Mary, and Joseph. It wrote the story of our faith. And so it is in our lives as well. Think of a time in which you took the other road. Not the easier road, not the smoother road, not the one that got you there faster, but the road less traveled, the back way, the long way around, the scenic route, the route that made all the difference. Is there something that God might be calling you to step away from? And more importantly, is there another road that God is calling you to take, or at least explore? Perhaps it's a road that challenges your thinking, widens your circle, expands your understanding, stretches your comfort zone to its limit, or just allows you to do or see something differently than you have been. Whatever it is, I can almost guarantee that on that other road, you will discover things about God and about yourself that you never knew. And it will be the beginning of something, just like it was for the wise men and the Holy Family. Just yesterday, a Facebook post of one of our members caught my eye, and I did check with her, and she said I could share it. She posted a picture of a road that she said she passes by all the time, but has always wondered where it went. Well, in a spirit of the new year, she shared that she found out and lived to tell about it. Finally, turning down that gravel road and seeing for herself where it leads. The end of her post read, "May 2022 be a year of new adventures for all of us." A perfect message for this moment in time, a perfect image as we seek the adventures of other roads at the beginning of this new year. May it be so. Bearing these things in mind, let's join in singing verses 3 and 4.
Thank you.
Before we sing the final stanza of our hymn together, I want to leave you with words that spoke to me in light of where we have been, where we find ourselves now, and most importantly, the journey ahead of us in this new year. It's a prayer from recently departed Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Disturb us, O Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have become true because we dreamed too little, because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, O Lord, when the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the water of life, when, having fallen in love with time, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of heaven to grow dim. Stir us, O Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture into wider seas where storms show thy mastery, where, losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. In the name of him who pushed back the horizons of our hopes and invited the brave to follow. May we, like the wise ones we read about today, like Mary and Joseph, shepherds and followers from all walks of life, dare to be stirred. Stirred from our plans, from our small thinking, from our well-worn paths, that we might venture boldly on another road into what lies ahead. May our hopes be higher, our dreams bolder, our love deeper, and our circles wider. May we dare to lose sight of the comfort of land, that we might see the star that still guides us. In the name of the one who pushed back the horizons of our hopes and invited the brave to follow, may we follow. Amen. As we switch gears and move into our time of prayer this morning, I'd like to lift up some joys and concerns that have been shared with us throughout the week. A joy: last week we lifted up Kathleen Sedell in our prayers as she underwent surgery. She is home recovering from a successful surgery, so we lift her up with continued prayers of healing, but also joy that that is behind her. We also continue to keep in our prayers Marge Jewell's daughter, Heather Quire, as well as Jackie Huntsberger, both of whom have been on our prayer list for a while, but can still certainly in need of our prayers of healing and comfort. And another concern, prayers for Michelle Scott, daughter of Ann Haynes, who is having heart surgery on January 4th. We keep Michelle in our prayers, as well as her mom, Ann. Always knowing that we each come to this time of prayer with many joys and concerns on our hearts and minds, people that we've been thinking about and sending our prayers to, I invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God in prayer together. God, as we stand at the beginning of this new year, we confess our need for your presence now more than ever, your guidance as we look to step into the future. We each have our hopes and expectations for the year that is ahead of us, but you ask us gently to set some of those expectations aside, that we might be present in what it holds for us. You alone give us the strength and the wisdom we will need to meet its challenges, to enjoy its joy. So help us to humbly put our hands into yours and to trust you and seek you in all that we do. In the midst of life's uncertainties in the days ahead, assure us of the certainty of your love, your grace, and your unfailing presence. In the midst of life's inevitable disappointments and heartaches, help us to turn to you for the stability and the comfort we will need. And God, in the midst of the joys and celebrations, both those we celebrate today and those on the horizon, we pray that we might be reminded to always be grateful and continually point to you as the true source of our joy. We pray, O God, this day, especially for those lifted up among us, for Kathleen, for Heather, for Jackie and Vern, for Michelle and Anne, knowing that you know what each of them need in this moment. We pray that you surround them with peace and healing and comfort, with good spirits and hope. We take time now, O God, to pray silently for those on our hearts and minds. Hear our prayers, O God. At the start of a new year, open our eyes to the sorrows and injustices of our hurting world, and help us to respond with compassion and care. We pray for our nation and its leaders, and for all those who are seeking to bring peace and justice and healing to a fearful and troubled world. Bring that which is divided together, and give us a greater vision, a broader perspective of what you would have us be. May we look back with gladness and thanksgiving, and may we look ahead with boundless hope as we boldly step into a new day, ever mindful of your constant and unchanging love. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ, your Son, whose birth we still celebrate and who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." It is in a spirit of hope and love and joy and peace that I invite you to stand as we sing our doxology together and as we receive and dedicate this morning's offering. Loving God, we give you thanks for giving hands and giving hearts that invest what they have and who they are into the life of this community, into the life of your kingdom.
May we be good stewards of all that has been and will be shared in this place, time, resources, talents, love, that we might together use it all to shine a light that this world desperately needs. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
As you go from this time of worship into whatever this day holds, whatever this week holds, whatever this new year holds, may you know that God holds you. May you know that the light of Christ is around you and within you, and may you know that the power of God's Holy Spirit is with you, goes with you, and stays with you this day and every day. Amen.